Well, good morning. Man, you guys, I didn't even have to say it twice. You just like, ready to go. Are y'all ready to go?
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you why I'm not ready to go, because you're so far away. Okay, like if the people on TV could see here what I see here, there are approximately three rows, which is about 18 feet of a chasm in between us, and then there are about 50 to 60 people sitting back there, and that's okay, we're good. But man, happy Independence Day, happy 4th of July, right? Did you guys pop some fireworks or anything? Yeah, just a real quick side story, I got a 4th of July injury right here. We were popping, we were doing fireworks yesterday, and I got these little, just these little family fireworks, nothing crazy because our kids, this is the first time we've done it. And I went to light this little firework, and it was just this little piddly, little bitty thing that was supposed to like squirt out some, sparks or whatever those things are. And I set it down on the concrete and I lit it and I walked away and it just went, doop. And I was like, oh, well, okay, that was it. And so I kind of, was like, well, all right, waited a few minutes, I was like, well, I'm hoping it's not going to so I walked over to it to set down another firework, and I leaned down to put the other firework down and to flick the other one over. And all of a sudden, when I was placing this one down, it started and shot straight up into my face, and I had to dive out of the way. Yeah, that was a real thing. And like, I was like, my daughter was like, Daddy, is your eye okay? I was like, of course my wife and my aunt are there. And my mom was like, are you okay? And I'm like, well, fine. It just, startled me. And so hopefully there were no injuries like that in your families or anything crazy like that. But man, I love fireworks, but I agree. I'm glad that they were over at midnight because, Lord have mercy, I thought that we were at war for a while. It was just, sometimes it was like, such loud cannons that were going off. I felt like we're like shaking the house and things. But anyway, we're super glad to celebrate Independence Day and the 4th of July and have the freedom to do that and the freedom to meet together again. And so we're thankful. So if you're watching at home on TV or on the internet, we welcome you as well to our services this morning. I do want to begin today with letting you know we are starting a new series called Overflow, and we're going to look at a couple of different stories through the book of John, and we're going to end up in Revelation at the end of the month, and we're going to deal with some matters of the heart. Just because there's so much stuff kind of going on right now where I feel like instead of trying to tackle so many specific things, why don't we get to the root of the matter and try to tackle the heart? And try to look at some of that. And so the inspiration comes from Isaiah 12:3. It says that with joy you will draw water from wells of salvation. And it also says in Luke 6:45, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. And so we want to look at what's inside of our heart. We want to look at what that means. And so what I wanted to do is, I wanted to have a few different buckets up here. One of them with stones in it, one of them with mud in it, and one of them with holes in it. And, we're thinking about this drawing water from a well. And if you have a bucket, that's up here that has stones all in it, you're not going to get the amount of water that you need out of the well. Like if you're drawing water from a well, and it's going to be super heavy, right? So then if I have a bucket that has maybe mud in it and I dip it into the well, the water is ruined at that point because I can't drink muddy water or gross water unless I have like one of those life filter straws or something. And then, I'm like the, whatever, the best outdoorsy guy you can find. But, for the most part, the water's going to be gross and disgusting and you won't want to drink it. And then if I have a bucket that's got a bunch of holes in it and I go to dip the water out of the well, the water's going to run out because we all know that that's how water works. Like if there's holes in the bucket, there's a hole in the bucket, dear Liza, right? So we got a hole in the bucket, the water's going to run out of it and it's not going to do you any good. Everybody follow me on that deal? And so our hearts are like these buckets. Our hearts are like buckets that we're drawing water from a well. And the water that we're drawing, what we're drawing from is the love of God, the well, the overflow of His love and His goodness. And so if we are filling our vessels that God has for us with stones, we're not ready to receive all that God has for us. If we have a heart that's been muddy and muddied up, you know, it's not ready. It's tainted. It's not good. You know, and if we have a vessel with holes in it, you know, you're not going to retain, you're not going to have all of the water, all of the love, all of the goodness that God wants for you that's within this vessel that He has, right? And so, you know, we want to make sure that we are using our vessels to worship God and to love God, and we do that by our worship and devotion to Him. And we have this worship and devotion to God, and He uses us, and He speaks through us. And, you know, and that's how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to build this relationship with God, and we're supposed to build this, and He does great things in us, and He's a good God, and a loving God, and a providing God, and a sacrificial God. And He has all of these things that He just pours into us. But what we end up doing is that over time, Billy, if you'll show the picture, if over time what happens to our vessel, this beautiful bucket that God created in us, will immediately turn whenever He gets that movement, it'll be up there. But what happens is that our vessel will turn into this rusty old bucket that's holy, not holy as in God holy, but it'll have holes in it. It's tainted, it's gross, it doesn't do its purpose. And what happens is stress, fear, hurt, harm, finances, disease, all of these things. And what happens, all these things come in and they damage the vessel. They damage our heart, right? So if you could imagine that for a minute, this amazing bucket, this amazing vessel that God has created inside of you, and over time, all of these things, your heart takes a beating, right? You've been there before. Your heart has taken a beating before, right? It could be all kinds of things. It doesn't have to be even crazy things. It could be just small things, right? And all of a sudden, what happens is these things kind of take over, and we kind of forget, and the damage comes in, and we don't remember the good things that God has done for us, and we don't remember what that looks like, and we don't remember what that feels like because our vessels have been damaged. So we just got back from Florida. My wife and I and kids, we went on vacation. We spent 10 days in just south of Tampa, and man, it was hot. Okay, y'all think it's hot here, okay, and I get it, but when you go on vacation in Florida, you kind of expect it, right? You're like, yep, I'm going where it's going to be blazing hot, and I'm going to sit on the beach, and I'm going to love every second of it. Well, when you have two toddlers, it kind of changes just a little bit, because you're kind of like, no, come over here. No, come over there. Come over there. Ah, no, you're, okay, if you have kids, you get it. You 100% get it. But we go to Florida, and we had such a great time, right? You know, you don't mean to, but you kind of fall into a routine. You guys ever fall into a routine, like, just in your day, we're on vacation, we make no plans to go anywhere. And then all of a sudden, what happens is you fall into this, we're going to wake up at this time, we're going to eat breakfast, we're going to go to the beach on this time, we're going to come back and eat lunch, and then we're going to go take a nap, then we're going to go to the pool, then we're going to eat dinner, then we're going to wind down and go to bed, and we're going to do all again the next day. Y'all ever fall into that on vacation? You just kind of, it's not an intentional thing, but we're just creatures of like habit, and we want some kind of structure. Well, what are we going to do today? I don't know. And so we would kind of have this thing. And so in the afternoons, we would go to the pool. And part of the cool thing about having kids is that you get to teach them, like, certain things. And so we're teaching our children how to swim. And so you get to do this on your own, like, kick, 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 and all this kind of stuff. Well, Carter, he's about 2.5. And so he doesn't understand the kick, 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 kick. You know, we're doing blow bubbles, you know, you know, all that kind of stuff. You taught your kids blow out and all this kind of stuff. Well, Carter, when he is in the pool, he doesn't understand that he can't open his mouth underwater. He just doesn't understand this. He, and it, partially it's my fault a little bit, because I'll take him and we'll be playing and I'll go, 1, 2, 3, and we'll dunk him down in the water and he'll jump up out of the water, coughing and hacking and all this kind of stuff. Don't judge me, because you've done it too. Don't judge me, because all you parents out there, you do that kind of stuff. Maybe it's not drowning your kid in a pool, but you want to, but it's something totally different, okay? I get it. Don't lie to me, okay? It could be riding the bike. Go, you got it. Oh, you let go, or whatever the case may be, right? But anyway, so he would, he would have this situation where he would just hack on this water because he didn't understand. He didn't understand. He knows how to breathe. So let's think about it for a second. If you and I were to go to the swimming pool and we were going to jump in the swimming pool, and you and I went underwater and we began to breathe, we began to inhale and exhale, we would begin to choke and drown and all these things that start, I got to get to the top, all this kind of stuff, right? And you'd be wigging out just a little bit, but you're doing everything that you needed to do to breathe, right? Inhale, exhale. The problem is you were in the wrong environment. We were in the wrong environment to breathe and to do exactly what we were supposed to do. We knew what we were supposed to do. I know to breathe, I need to inhale and exhale, but if I'm underwater, I can't do that. I'm in the wrong environment for breathing. And see, it's kind of that way, like, you need oxygen to breathe underwater. You can't get that oxygen. You're going to drown, right? You're going to drown if that happens. But here's what happens. Like, when we're building this relationship with God, our hearts have to be in the right environment. Our hearts have to be in the right environment to get everything that we need from God. Our minds have to be in the right place with God, right? So we can do all the right things. Yeah, we can do all the right things. We can read our Bible. We can pray. We can come to church. We can watch church. We can seek God. We can sing worship songs. We can listen to Christian music. We can listen to the best preachers and the greatest podcasts in the world and all these things that you can do, right? And you could look like you're seeking after God, but if your environment of your heart is in the wrong place, you will never receive what God has for you because you are in the wrong place. And you can look like you are a Christian, and you can look like you're doing all the right things, but deep down inside of that heart, you and I both know that there's probably some things somewhere that are holding you back. You got one more little stone that's tucked away down in the corner of that heart that you know that you need to get rid of, but you don't want to deal with because you don't want to deal with those things and the hurt and the pain and all of the things that go along with those things, right? See, the problem is that we are operating out of pride, and we're operating out of boastfulness when we don't allow God to use us. We don't want to give up everything. That's pride. No, God, I can't allow you to do these things. That's pride. Because we want to hold on to certain things, right? And see, a Christian, as believers, we are to truly allow God to work and to give everything to Him. To submit is what the Bible says. And when we submit to what the Lord is doing, we give Him all things, not partial things. And so there's these moments in our life where we've got to be operating out of love and humility and gracefulness to God versus operating with pride and our flesh. And we've all been there. Everyone in the room, everyone watching, everyone's been there when we're operating out of our flesh. You know when the flesh takes over because you begin to say things that you didn't mean to say, and you begin to think things that you didn't mean to think, even though in the back of your mind, you're thinking those things. You know what I'm talking about. You see all this stuff on TV right now, all this racial inequality, all these, Black Lives Matter, all this other stuff that's going on, and you have these thoughts running through your brain, and you have to be able to connect your heart and your mind in the middle of these things and what you're thinking about these things. But at the same time, you have to start thinking about your relationship with God and how you would respond in love and how you would do X, Y, Z, and whatever the case may be. Moving on, okay? But we have to allow God to change the environment of our heart. And that only comes through God. You have to know that. You will never be able to change the environment of your heart on your own. You were born a sinful creature. You were born an enemy of God. And until you experience the full righteousness of God, you will never experience the overflow of God's love that he has for you. And so this series that we're going to walk through is hopefully going to look at how we can kind of clean up, kind of repair, kind of get back to the nitty-gritty and what God wants our vessels to be like and how he wants us to be clean and beautiful and not broken and not full of stones and not muddy, but ready to receive what he has for us. And so we're going to look in the book of John, chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And we're going to look at John the Baptist specifically today. And we're going to look at what kind of example he was and what he was like and how this works in this deal. So John chapter 1, we're just going to kind of walk through this deal. We're going to start in verses 19. So we're going to we're going to read the passage and then we'll just come back and we'll just chop this thing up. This is called expository. So we'll just kind of chop this thing up and walk through it. Y'all ready for it? Hoo-ha, if you got it. Perfect. We got it. We're ready. So John chapter 1, starting in verse 19, I'm reading from the ESV. It says, "And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then, are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not. Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord.' As the prophet Isaiah said, now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, 'Then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet?' John answered them, 'I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie.' These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I have said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" Let's pray. Father, you are a mighty God, and we know that you are able to do more than we can ever imagine. And Father, we pray as we dive into your word, Father, that you would teach us, change the environment of our heart, Father, that we would be vessels ready to be filled with your love and overflow into our communities. We love you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So who is John the Baptist? Who is this guy that all of a sudden steps on the scene and John's saying, hey, here he is. This guy's going to baptize. And see, John the Baptist, you know, he had a big old following of people, right? So he was huge. When I say huge, I don't mean like he was huge. I mean his following, people came from all over to see him because of what he was doing, right? And so he started preaching in the desert near the Jordan River. Who wants to go to the desert, first of all? Not very many people, right? He wore weird clothes, like camel's hair, you know, all this kind of weird stuff. And he ate bugs. Okay, y'all following this? Now, this is John the Baptist, okay? A guy in the desert baptizing people, wearing camel's hair clothes and eating bugs. We're setting the stage here, right? Thousands of people would come to him to be baptized. Okay, that's not really somebody, I'm not sure about you, but you know that's not really something I'm like, yes, I will go see him. He wears camel hair and eat bugs. I'm all about it. But people found him fascinating. They found him super compelling, right? Even Jesus in Matthew 11:11 and then in Luke, he says, there is no one that is greater. John the Baptist is even to Jesus. He is the end all be all. This is the man, right? That's a pretty big deal, isn't it? I mean, you know, for Jesus to say that, I don't know. But anyway, it would kind of make me nervous. Would it make you nervous to have that kind of deal? But here's who it really made nervous. It made the Jewish leaders really nervous. So much so that they sent priests and Levites to go check him out. Does that sound familiar? See, because when Jesus came onto the scene, what did they do? What did the Jewish leaders do? Go. You find out what this dude's about. Find out what he's saying. Find out what's going on. And so what happened here is they got nervous and they sent priests and Levites to investigate what was going on in the desert, because they're like, you and me, the desert, eating bugs, dressed in camel hair? What's going on here? And so look at John 1, 19 to 20. Here's what it says. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. So that sounds pretty simple and straightforward, right? Hey, are you Jesus? Nope, I'm not Jesus. Okay, done story, let's move on. You know, the Jewish leaders should probably have moved on from that point, but they did not, right? What do you mean? Why are people so drawn to you? Why are there thousands of people here? Why are people wanting to come to you and get baptized? Why are people believing in you? It's hot. You eat bugs. Why are people here? Right? And just, we went to Jungle Gyms. I don't know if you know what Jungle Gyms is, but Jungle Gyms is this place in Cincinnati. Bobby and I went the other day, just on our 15-year anniversary. We went to Cincinnati and ate and just had a good day. And we were in Jungle Gyms and we noticed the bug section. Now, you need to understand that there are people who eat bugs. They're called hippies, okay? I'm just kidding. That's very judgmental. Okay, it's not true. But in Jungle Gyms, there was like a whole variety of bugs. You could get beetles, worms, ants, roaches. And I don't mean like, you know, oh, look at that little bitty. No, I mean bugs, big bugs, bub kebabs, and all this kind of stuff. Chocolate-covered bugs, ant chips, and all of this kind of stuff. And I don't know about you, I'm going to buy some for our student ministry whenever we kind of meet back together. And we're going to try bugs one night in youth group. And maybe you want to be a part of that. But here's the deal. I don't really know very many people that do eat bugs, you know, that have like a huge following. You know, but John the Baptist, for some reason, has this enormous following, even though he's got these kind of weird things. And so the priest, they kind of move on in this conversation. Okay, hey, are you Jesus? Nope, I'm not Jesus. And so the priests say, okay, look, man, we need answers. You ever been there? We need a little bit more information. That's not good enough. Parents are especially that way, right? Okay, so tell us really what happened, right? We need answers. And so John 1, 21 to 22. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. So they said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? What do you say about yourself? Think about that question for a minute. If someone says, what do you say about yourself? What do you say? Like, what do you say? How do you describe yourself? Well, I'm a believer. I love the Lord. I'm an amazing Christian. I serve in my, what do you say? How do you say that, right? Especially in front of Jewish leaders who are there basically to condemn you. Hey, go find out what he's doing and convict this man, right? We got to figure something out because he's causing too much chaos in our world. So you ever been to the principal's office? Did you ever go to the principal's office when you were a kid, if you're an adult? Or maybe you went to your boss's office. Your boss says, hey, Dixie, can I talk to you for a minute? Oh, sheesh, what did I do? You know, you immediately begin to think all of these things. Or maybe, you know, if you're a kid, your mom and dad says, hey, we need to talk. Go to my room. And you're like, not your room. Because when you get called to mom and dad's room, it's totally different. Everything changes, right? The belt comes off and you're like, oh, Lord, what have I done? And you begin to question, right? And so he says, you know, they say to him, you know, what do you say about yourself? I don't know. That's just a crazy moment. I can't imagine what he's feeling. Although, He answers it just amazingly. John 1, 23 to 27 says, he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet said, Isaiah said. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, then why are you baptizing if you are neither the Christ nor Elijah nor the prophet? John answered them, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of those sandals I am not worthy to untie. Now, just a side note here, this line that he says, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. Back then, it was the lowliest of lowliest of lowliest jobs. Like the slave that was the bottom slave, the very bottom person, the one that was looked upon the least, would be the only one that would be able to untie someone's sandals. And so John is making this great point here that, hey, I'm not even worthy to do that in this case. And so, why is John's message so compelling then? Why is he somebody that people follow? He wasn't the Messiah. He wasn't Insta-famous, right? He's not an Instagram blogger, whatever. And people aren't like, oh yeah, man, I totally know him. He wasn't any of that stuff. He wasn't a great athlete. He wasn't a great warrior. He wasn't a great strength coach or anything like that. He wasn't anything of any kind of status like that. He was simply preaching, prepare the way of the Lord, and he would baptize people, right? And even though he was saying things like, prepare the way, but he himself wasn't sure who this person was going to be, because remember he said, hey, I don't even know who this is going to be, because I'm going to know when the Holy Spirit comes down, and that's when I'll know who this person is. And so John is sitting here saying these things, and it's like, whoa. And so John is baptizing people with water, which is basically symbolizing God's forgiveness to these people, right? And so he's trying to be this vessel for God to use, even though he's not sure, he's not quite positive of what's going on, but he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to preach the gospel, and he was supposed to baptize people, because that's what he was commanded to do, and so he did it, right? People were having their hearts washed clean because of him. Empty buckets were being able to receive the overflowing love of God because of the work that John was doing. And in the midst of all this, he wasn't saying, hey, look at me, look at what I'm doing for God. Hey, look at how big my church is getting. Look at the thousands of people that are here. What he was saying was, I am not even able to untie the straps of the man who I am preaching of coming. He was the most humble person before the Lord. And I love that. John chapter 1, 29 to 34, this is where it gets so good, right? This is where it gets amazing. The next day he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Did you hear what he said? All he did was see him coming, and he knew immediately who Jesus was. He knew immediately who Jesus was. This is he of whom I have said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. God showed him exactly who he was. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And now John the Baptist, he bears witness to Jesus because he knew, because God revealed this to him. Because he knew that Jesus was the one who didn't come to baptize with water. He came to baptize with the Spirit. He came to baptize and forgive people, not just with water, but with the love of God. He's the one that came to forgive the sins of the world. He's the one that came to make you new. He's the one that came to restore you, to make you who he wants you to be. Not who you want to be, but who he wants you to be and who he created you to be. And see, John the Baptist was an amazing example to crowds of people to follow, and how to follow and behave in a lovely way to carry themselves as a believer in a God, even though he didn't know, even though he wasn't sure, even though he didn't have a definite this is God. And he didn't know all of that, but he still did exactly. He knew what God wanted him to do. And we've been there. We know what God wants us to do, but sometimes we allow fear and pain and past hurts and things to stop us from doing what God has called us to do. We don't do that because of all of our past and because of all of those things that have gone before us. And see, if a heart is like a bucket, if a heart is like this vessel, the dirt that fills up our buckets is sin. And you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't take you long to know when you have sin that has crept into your life that you need to get rid of it, because everything changes. The water is immediately different than it was before. I could take a glass of water and pour a spoonful of mud in it, and it immediately changes everything. It changes the taste of the water. It changes the look of the water. It changes the consistency of the water. And you understand what I'm saying, because the immediate second that sin is introduced into your heart, everything changes. And we forget that we are loved by God, that we are made in God's image, and that we are called good before him, because sin has come in and we have traded the truth for a lie. And that's exactly what the devil wants. And see, the other thing about John the Baptist, he wasn't ashamed. He knew exactly what he was supposed to do, and so he did it. He knew what his purpose was, right? He wasn't overly proud, and he didn't claim to be the Messiah. He says that, "Are you the Messiah?" "No, I'm not the Messiah." But he was humble and honest about who he was. That's one of the best things about him. See, Jesus said for us to love others as we love ourselves. And so if you're listening and you're here, and if you think terribly about yourself, you're not going to be able to love others properly, because you'll be preoccupied with your own misery. You'll be preoccupied about all the things that you could be or should be or whatever, when you need to think positively and honestly and lovely about yourself because of how God has created you. And if you think too highly of yourself, well, then you guys know how this goes. Pride kind of creeps into your heart, right? You won't be able to serve others the way that God wants you to serve others, because you won't genuinely care about serving others. You will genuinely care that people will see you serving. And people will see that you're a believer. And people will see all these things. But that's not how John was. He was humble and loving and served. And that humility and love is an antidote to sin. That can only come through Jesus. That can only come because of his power. And see, John the Baptist, the humility gave him focus. He was continually focused. He wasn't distracted by his own agenda. He wasn't distracted by other things that were going on, right? He didn't fall to the common trap that drives us away from God's purpose, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Comparing ourselves to other people. Apathy for loving God and for serving the church, or just in general being apathetic. But insecurities about who we are and how God's created us to be, that we want to be like somebody else because we're not confident in who God created me to be, even though I am created individually and there is no one like me. And God loves me the way that I am. And so when John is in the desert and he's doing all of this work, and so many people came to be with him, you can imagine that this could be a little bit like, you know, like, yeah, look at me. Look at all these people who follow after me. Look at all of this stuff. But John knew what his purpose was. His purpose was preparing the way for Jesus. And that humility allowed him to stay focused on his purpose and what he was here for. And so as we kind of move through this sermon series, the hope is that we will continually be loved by God, and that we will understand that he is good and that he is the only way that we can receive forgiveness. He is the only way that we can be restored to that overflowing love of God. And so we look at John the Baptist, we look at, man, this guy was humble. He was a servant. He loved God. He knew his purpose, and he was not ashamed of that. And sometimes we allow that to happen in our hearts. We allow other things to take control. And so the challenge for you is that you would allow God to prepare your heart to encounter Jesus. As John the Baptist preached, Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare that God is going to do something in your life that you've never seen before. Allow him to work. Search your hearts into the deepest, darkest places and let him do work. Let him use you. The band's going to come and we're going to wrap this thing up. But I really want you to spend a few minutes focusing on the goodness of God, focusing on what he has for you, his love, his salvation, the blessings, the purpose of your life. Allow yourself to get back to that place for you to know. For you know exactly what God is calling you to do. And allow the overflow of God's love to take hold of your heart. But before we can get to that point, we've got to make sure that our sins are forgiven. That there's no stones in the bucket. That the mud's not there. That there's no holes in the bucket. And the only way that we can do that is if we do work with God. And so today, if you're here, you know, we challenge you, do work with God. Allow him to search your heart and to know you. Right? Search my heart, O God. Right? Renew that right spirit that's within me. You know, if you're a believer, you know exactly what you're to do. But if you're here and you're not a believer, all you have to do is admit that you're a sinner. Confess your sins to God and believe. And believe in him. You'll be saved. And the same God that John the Baptist preached about is the same God who will save you today. With the same love and the same overflow. So I pray that you would do business with God now. Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the love of God. We're thankful for the sacrifices that Jesus made on the cross for us. God, we pray that we would be a people who seek after you completely. And God, that our hearts would be in the right environment. God, that our hearts would be ready for you, Father, that we would be in a right place with you. That when we spend time worshiping you and building a relationship with you, God, but it would be true, it would be pure. Father, we pray for clean hands and pure hearts. God, we pray that you would do mighty things that we know that you can do. Father, we pray that you would search us and forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of those deep, dark places that we don't want to talk about. And allow us to serve you completely and wholly. We love you, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.